This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rome.
Praise God, it is another beautiful day. Today, our guest, Bill Johnson, teaching at a healing and impartation conference.
You don't want to miss any of this. You want to listen to it over and over and over. It'll change the way you see your life as a Christian. So here he is, Bill Johnson, part two of his teaching.
God looks for a people that he can release the realms of heaven upon that will not buckle under what they're carrying. So this shift in perspective then is at the heart of seeing transformation in society as well as the implementation of the graces and gifts of God. For example, the Son of righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. Sickness is to my body what sin is to my soul. Healing is actually an expression of the holiness of God. I mean, honestly, we live in a culture that feeds itself on bad news. And you are what you eat. So is that the will of God, that you would have an anointing where every cancer case you pray for is healed? Yes, it is. Why? Because that's how Jesus lived. I don't have any other example to follow. I don't have anything else to do with my life. He's the only one worth following. So that standard where everyone gets healed is the only one I can contend for. Realizing that the measure of the will of God that I experience on a regular basis is determined by what I can carry. The reality that exists within you, be it chaos, confusion, anger, hatred, strife, anxiousness, worry, fear, or peace, love, mercy, whatever reality exists within you, that is the nature of the world you create around you. Your internal reality becomes your external reality. Now, this is where does healing come from? An internal reality. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to you. Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you. Why? Because that is the tool he uses to answer the prayer we pray, on earth as it is in heaven. If you get it here, you're positioned to release it, redefine the nature of the world here. What kind of world do you want to live in? It's a good question. What kind of world do you want to live in? Just think about it. What kind of world? What kind of home do you want to live in? If you have it going on here, you will eventually have it going on around you. And wherever you have influence and authority, that will come under the influence of your personal internal victories. It is how it works. What do you give away? Jesus said, freely receive, freely give. You give away what? What you've received. Which is what? The Holy Spirit. He's the driving force of transformation. Releasing that presence and power into the land is what redefines the world we live in. That is where we see the power of holiness is greater than the power of sinfulness, is the Holy Spirit is released into the world. I mean, honestly, we live in a culture that feeds itself on bad news, and you are what you eat. So is that the will of God, that you would have an anointing where every cancer case you pray for is healed? Yes, it is. Why? Because that's how Jesus lived. I don't have any other example to follow. I don't have anything else to do with my life. He's the only one worth following. So that standard where everyone gets healed is the only one I can contend for. Realizing that the measure of the will of God that I experience on a regular basis is determined by what I can carry. And I'm not saying this to make us introspective. I'm saying this so that we can appreciate process. This is what happens. When you pray for something, let's say you pray for today, you pray for God, release into my life an anointing where every cancer case is healed. All right, that's an awesome prayer. The moment you pray it, the seed of that answer has been placed into your life. Now, the test is, what will you do with what you've been given that is to set the stage for that fulfillment? Do you remember the story in Luke 19 where the landowner comes and he gives a mina to each of his 10 servants. All right, he gives a mina to each of his 10 servants, and he says, go work with them. Go work with them, and then I'll come back and receive the profits. So he comes back after a period of time to receive the profits. And the first one comes to him and says, Master, here's your mina, and here's 10 more that I earned with that mina. And the master said what? Well done, good and faithful servant. Here, you are now in charge of 10 cities. That's an unusual reward for handling a sum of money. Why did Jesus use that illustration from handling money to being in charge of 10 cities? Why? Because right previous to this, the scripture says Jesus gave this parable in response to what the disciples were thinking. And they were thinking the kingdom of God would appear immediately. So what did Jesus do? He took them into a story of process. See, in their mindset, the government of God would come upon, was upon Jesus, would come upon the disciples, and that they would be able to manifest the Messiah's rule. And in doing so, God would vindicate the unrighteous rule of Rome over Israel. It specifically was that God would rule in Israel, and they would become a dominant people once again. The golden age of David and Solomon would be restored, only greater because now it's the Messiah. That Rome would be punished for its incorrect treatment of Israel. That Israel would no longer be the tail. They'd become the head once again. So this is what they're thinking. So Jesus, in response to them thinking that he was going to be instantly promoted to being king of the land and bring everybody under military rule, he gave a story that did what? Emphasized process. With the same outcome. Master, we want to sit at your right hand. My brother will sit at your left hand. We're going to be in there with you. We're going to make this a good earth to live on. You and me, like this. We're going to help. We'll do the multiplying food thing, take care of sickness. It'll be awesome. And Jesus said, there was the landowner, and he gave a sum of money. Look what he did. The landowner gave an impartation and then left. And this is the part people don't appreciate. Or realize, and that's the value of process without the constant presence that gives you moment by moment inspiration through your learning process. Why? The master must retreat. He never leaves us, but how many of you know the inspiration for that we're trying to grow in comes and goes? Why? Because he has to see what I'm doing with what I've been given when there's no inspiration and when there's no immediate breakthrough. It's the value of process. See, it's the realization that when I have prayed, the seed of that prayer has been put within me, and now it's an issue of stewardship to process, to steward over what God's given me. In me right now exists the seed of everything I've ever prayed for. So what am I going to do when the person I pray for dies? See, it's those are the moments. Those are the moments that determine, do I get 10 cities? 5 cities. This isn't about all of us becoming mayors, because we can't have that many mayors and governors in the world. What it does mean is that your values shape the values of entire city people groups. This is amazing. Think about this. All right. Well done, good and faithful servant. Here, you're now in charge of 10 cities. These cities are yours. What is he saying? That your values, your perspective, the way you think, your influence in the spirit realm is going to shape the mindset of entire communities. Process. If we do not value process, we will constantly look for the and suddenly to bring the answer. I love the and suddenlies, but and suddenlies generally follow process. The and suddenly of Acts chapter 2. And suddenly the Spirit of God came. All right, but that followed 10 days. Heaven invaded earth, followed 10 days of earth invading heaven. Process. It's having the faith to realize that when you've prayed for something, the seed of that answer has been placed within you. So now I have to steward my heart. I have to steward, stand in line. I finally got the impartation prayer from Randy. Now I actually have to find sick people to pray for. I can't wait for them to call me. Well, I'm just waiting for one more touch, one more prophetic word. Not a good idea. Ask the guy who buried his talent. Our responsibility is not to stand in defensive posture, protect what's been given to us. That may appear safe in military terms, but in the kingdom, it is not safe. The only safe place in the kingdom is in the position of continual advancement. It's the only thing that keeps you safe. Safest place in the kingdom is the front lines of battle. It's weird, but that's the way this kingdom works. The most dangerous place is at the tail end where you actually have options. On the front lines of battle, you're only concerned about having enough ammunition, keeping your head down, and knowing who your friends are. I mean, whether you miss a meal or two, it doesn't really even matter. You're not thinking about that. On the front lines of battle, you're only concerned about one thing, knowing where the enemy is, keeping your head down, having enough ammunition. It's real interesting, the priorities. Now, there's not a guy in the front lines of battle in Iraq that's worrying about his electric bill at home right now. It's so not on the scale. And so being a people that posture ourselves to carry faithfully what God's given to us is really a big deal, because the seed of what we've prayed for, all the ideals that we've lifted up, they've all been placed within us. And the Lord now looks for, what will he do with what I've given him? Will he continue to pray after his friend dies? Will he continue to pray? See, it has to happen. It has to happen. Why? Because I asked for the moon. How can you be found faithful if you don't have another tree in a garden? So the landowner gives the impartation, and then he backs off. Because there are times, the ideal in the Christian life is living out of the presence of God, not out of principle. Living out of principle is valuable when you can't hear God, when you don't know what he's doing, when you don't know what he's saying. That's the moment where we live from principle towards life, towards the issues of life. But that's only when I'm not picking up the voice. Let me try to illustrate. There are times where I'm seeking direction from the Lord, and I'm just not hearing. I'm using every tool in the book, everything I can think of to manipulate him to help me. I mean, the hunger strike, I mean, fasting, all of it. And I'm just not hearing. And it comes down like, God, I've got to know by Thursday, because that's when the decision has to be made. And I'm praying on Wednesday night, I mean, I'm crying out to God. Thursday comes, I've got no answer. I have to make a decision now. There's three doors to choose from. I choose door A. And as soon as I open the door, Jesus is on the other side every time. And he says, good job. That was a good choice. Now, let me give you the promise. I wanted it beforehand, but he required me to live out of principle to see if I'd live out of what I have learned so far in my history with him. It's not to replace him. It's not to replace the voice. It's not to replace the sense of presence that we are to live from. It's just for me to know, for him to know, that he can trust me when the landowner gives the impartation and departs for a season. The shift in perspective is that righteousness, holiness is more powerful than sinfulness. Because of that, you must invade. The invasion has to come out of a confidence that God's presence in me is greater than the demonic presence, the dark presence around me. Greater is he that is within me. It's why all those verses are there. It's God's trying to incite a riot. These statements are there because God is trying to bring out greatness. He's trying to bring out that Christ formed in us to the surface. Christianity has been dumbed down to a manageable state, that it is kept alive by regular meetings and a certain amount of activity that's all focused on being here. Now listen, I believe in a corporate gathering. I don't like the idea of abandoning that. It's really a big deal to me. But there must be an invasion into society. And it's not going to take place as long as we have this view, Old Testament view. Where are we crippled the most? The Old Testament view that I am contaminated by unbelievers and by sinful conditions around me. Old Testament view, if you prophesy, you miss it, you're taken outside and stoned. That is all in the context of creating the awareness of a need of a Savior. But somehow that has defined how people approach the gifts of the Spirit. These are all law and the prophets that spoke until John, but now they no longer have a voice, except that in ways they point to the coming Christ and the coming kingdom. Anything in your Bible before Matthew that points to Jesus and what he's doing in the earth is alive. Anything that works to bring you back under a performance approach to life, it no longer has power unless you agree with it. The power of holiness. Isaiah 35. And you know what? Bummer, it's not in everybody's translation. but I'll read it to you out of the right one. I do really like how it's stated in this passage, in this particular translation, this New King James. New American Standard is my favorite translation, but in verse 3, there's the strengthening the weak hands and making strong the feeble knees. There's this whole compassion deal that's launched. And in verse 5, it says, then the eyes of the blind will be open. It's like you create the context through pursuing, serving people. You create the context for the supernatural to show up. And in that context of the outpouring of the Spirit, which was prophesied in Isaiah 32 and is manifested here in 35, the result is verse 8. A highway shall be there and a road, and it will be called the highway of holiness. I think most of our translations are pretty much the same up to that point. But listen to this one on the remainder. The unclean shall not pass over it. That makes sense. It shall be for others. That makes sense. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. I don't know about you. I like that verse. Even when I'm totally stupid, I can still be safe on the road of holiness. Why? Because it's broad enough that I'm not going to wander off. See, here's the deal. Life in Christ is this. There's a straight and narrow road. There's only one entrance to the Father through Christ Jesus. You don't get in there by trying God. You abandon yourself to this one, the only one who has a right to rule my life. With this straight and narrow road, we come to Christ Jesus, the door, the absolute only door, the absolute only way. We abandon ourselves to his purposes. We die to our agendas, our wills, our passions, dreams, everything. We die to him, and we enter the realm of the kingdom. Most Christians live on the other side in the kingdom as though it were still a straight and narrow road. It's not. See, on this side of the door, Jesus says, whatever you desire, ask, and my Father will do it for you. See, what you had to yield to come in, that's your personal agendas and desire, is what he gives back to you in sanctified form to live in the kingdom. So here we've got life in the kingdom is different. The highway of holiness. Why a highway of holiness? Because that's what affects, it creates peer pressure for righteousness. It does. It does. Peer pressure, it creates a standard for people to live where people who don't normally make righteous choices start making them because of the influence of righteousness in a city. See, our goal, yes, we want people saved. That's obviously that's the greatest miracle of all, is the conversion of an individual. But we work against it by not preaching the gospel of the kingdom that helps to reset the atmosphere of heaven over the hearts and minds of man so they can be free enough to make clear decisions. If Jesus is really the desire of the nations, which he is, then when the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of Jesus, lives in you, when he becomes clearly manifested in his nature, then you should be desirable to the nations. Now, Old Testament mindset has us at a distance because we can't be contaminated. New Testament mindset says, I'm here to contaminate. Are you with me? It's the power of holiness. It changed with the gospel of the kingdom. Now, in the measure I live under the dominion of God, in that measure only will I consistently manifest the dominion over those things that contradict heaven. I can only release what I have. To the degree I live under his rule, to that degree I can manifest his rule without it destroying me. See, the ambition is that we are able to demonstrate and manifest his rule to see powers of darkness yield to the name Jesus. See, you've not had a good day till you've had an impossibility bend its knee to the name Jesus. That is what defines a good day. You were born for that. That is our assignment, is invading the impossible so that those things that have been named impossible would bend their knee to the name Jesus. That's the assignment. I believe in co-laboring, working together to do things that are humanly possible. We build buildings, we dig wells in Africa, we do feed the poor. We do all those things because those are essential and important to do. But if that becomes the high point in defining Christianity, then we're in trouble. Because then we've done no more than the Kiwanis Club or the Rotary Club. Ministry has to be defined by breaking into the realm of the impossible. That is the clarification. See, every religion has a cross, so to speak. Every religion has some form of self-denial. Only Christianity has the resurrection. What distinguishes the gospel from every other message? It's the resurrection power of God. That is what we are obligated to demonstrate and manifest. For what purpose? For the transformation of cities and nations. The goal is not just to elect a Christian president. We think in terms of Wall Street. We think in terms that's a noble and correct ambition, but we think in terms of putting the right person in a place of authority will be how the nation is saved. And we generally do so to the point of missing out on our own personal assignment to bring about change. See, those who live under democracy already have built in their way of thinking that it's the popular vote that changes the mindsets of a nation. It's the masses. You need the masses. No, one prayer of faith would do it. I thought it was good. I thought it was a good point. Oftentimes we think in terms of size and amounts and masses when the Lord is just saying one person in agreement. See, God and one person is a majority. Keep focused. All right. So the deal is what? The deal is that the Lord has put us as salt, light, and leaven. Why? Not so that he can rescue us, but so that we transform the world around us. Now, I'll do this. You can only give away what you have. The reality that exists within you, be it chaos, confusion, anger, hatred, strife, anxiousness, worry, fear, or peace, love, mercy, whatever reality exists within you, that is the nature of the world you create around you. No matter what we do in service on Sunday morning, what we live with is the nature of the world we create around us. Your internal reality becomes your external reality. Now, this is where does healing come from? An internal reality. Silver and gold have I none, such as I have, I give to you. Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you. Why? Because that is the tool he uses to answer the prayer we pray, on earth as it is in heaven. If you get it here, you're positioned to really sit, redefine the nature of the world here. What kind of world do you want to live in? It's a good question. What kind of world do you want to live in? Just think about it. What kind of world? What kind of home do you want to live in? If you have it going on here, you will eventually have it going on around you. And wherever you have influence and authority, that will come under the influence of your personal internal victories. It is how it works. Is the what do you give away? Jesus said, freely receive, freely give. You give away what? What you've received. Which is what? The Holy Spirit. He's the driving force of transformation. Releasing that presence and power into the land is what redefines the world we live in. That is where we see the power of holiness is greater than the power of sinfulness, is the Holy Spirit is released into the world. That's probably enough. Let's stand.
Thank you. Global Air Force wants you. Be a part of the Global Air Force Radio Ministry. Please go to our website at www.globalairforce.net. That's www.globalairforce.net.
Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all. The kingdoms of my heart. In my heart are kingdoms of a world that's all my own. Kingdoms that by myself and God alone. In the past when I tried to rule my world, it just seemed to fall all apart. So please, Jesus, be the Lord of all, the kingdoms of be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all. The kingdoms of my
So, until we meet again, God bless you.
All passengers boarding for Global Air Force are now boarding KK1.